what I would like that now the closure of is 9 o'clock, and people are on the road, and people you're not bringing out anybody from your home. You are on the road, just there for the people who pass or wherever you are for the people who pass to collect bread. I'm saying that the opportunity to open a little later than close at 6 when everybody closing, open when everybody open and close when everybody closing, and so there's still people on the road who want to get the product that you normally would sell, and you have to leave. And so I'm saying that just as you allow the restaurant to open till 9, I ain't saying we got to open till 9, but just as you allow the restaurant, because they have to provide for their staff to get home. If a person is driving around selling their bread, they're self-employed, or they employ one person who they can take home with them or whatever. So it is
sorry to intervene, because we soon have to take a break for the latest. But have you approached the COVID unit about this?
Well, I did send a text message, not text message. I did send off an email to the minister, because they tell me he's the only person who would make a difference. But I never got a reply, and that was earlier before. So I never got up to now. I never got a reply. So he was on the program a couple of days ago last week, and I was trying to get on the program.
All right. Well, so, sir, we have to go now and take a break for the latest. I suggest you follow through the protocol and come back with us. Welcome back to Dr. Brass Sacks for Tuesday, March the 23rd, 2021. There are a couple of items in the news break that I'd like to comment on. The first one has to do with the announcement that the repeat from the government, this time by Minister Carroll, that government was going ahead with the and justifying the establishment or increasing the minimum wage for certain categories of Barbadian workers. This would follow hard on the heels of Prime Minister's statement yesterday to that effect, and that it gave the impression that government was prepared to fight hard to make sure that its policy is realized for the benefit of the public. But what to me is going to be interesting is how far both sides are going to be prepared to fight on this, because the impression was given by the private sector that this is not a good time, it was not the best time for it, and that while they agree with the concept, that it was impractical and not feasible to do it at this time. So if there's a battle of wills, we have to see how this goes, and I think people will be particularly interested to see how much effort the government puts into it, given that its critics have been saying for some time that the government seems to be in bed with the private sector on many important issues. So I think this would be a test, not only of reality, but also of perception, of political perception. The other thing has to do with the announcement that the head of COVID unit is asking and urging Barbadians again not to drop their guard. And I know these are messages that have to be repeated time and time again to reinforce it and remind people about it, particularly if the impression is that things are getting better or have gotten better. But two things, maybe a more persuasive language and tone might help change, and more, and having somebody say it other than the head of the enforcement unit, again for enforcement, who that might make a difference. As we've seen, some things were tried with the intervention of into the COVID process, communication process with Ambassador Thompson, who by the way has come off the scene, and he's exited the scene, and we're waiting to see whether that is a permanent removal or whether that foretells other things that are going to happen, what role she will play in future. And now I see we've involved professional journalist Lisa Lord of CBC. That is reflective of what I've been urging some time ago, that I didn't think of CBC, thought of somebody professional with a neutral image from GIS could have done it. But I think I said this is a step in the right direction, and I hope it improves. But I also want to say that I think what would help would be to not just publish figures every day on tests, on positive, on those in isolation, et cetera, unfortunate deaths or whatever. I think what we need is commentary, analysis. It's like me reading just the scoreboard of a cricket match. how many go run somebody get, how many wickets who run them. But you don't just need the scores. You need an analysis, a commentary of the scores to help it make sense to you. So when you publish what is known straight up in North America of a dashboard, you mentioned, say, the number of tests, you mentioned the positive, you mentioned other things. Particularly at the time when we are concerned about the positivity rate, I think the positivity rate should also be given daily. So some people are going to follow it and track it themselves. I suspect most people don't know how to work out the positivity rate. It is so simple. Even if I could do it, you can do it. A positivity rate is determined by dividing the number of positive cases by the number of tests conducted and multiplied by 100. Again, we take the number of positive cases reported for number of over and divided by the number of tests conducted, and then multiply that figure by 100. That gives you the positivity rate. And people will be able to track it. And I feel that we should get a weekly summary so we can see if there are any trends developing and people be able to visually follow it. But when you give, there's no way I'm going to try to remember every day's numbers. But I'm saying when you put it visually in a graph, I can call it a graph, a chart, I think it would help people. And people be able to see it if it's rising or falling. And that might help them to modify the behavior. But if they're getting 20 tests and no deaths, and people might believe it, no problem, you cool everything under it. But the underlying factors and be able to track things better into society. Just a suggestion. Brastas, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Am I on?
Yeah, sure, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. I've been holding for a while, but I have 2 points that I want to raise. One is linking with the government industrial school, what is generally going on in the prison system in Barbados itself, which needs to come under serious scrutiny, because we've just identified in one institution where a serious human rights violation took place. And we've now identified that this is the standard operating procedure, which is against human rights, period. A few years ago, there was a photo on the front page of the Nation's newspaper where they were showing you, this is now at the main institution, the female section, and the fact that the female inmates might come in, they might be pregnant, they give birth in the institution, and they were displaying the so-called cribs that are used for receiving the babies of these inmates. And I called in very upset because it looked like a baby prison that these children were being put in. This stainless steel thing with the two square wiring on the top. It was awful. And to the best of my knowledge, that is still the condition. If any female goes in there pregnant and has to give birth in the prison, pregnant, that is the condition in which the child is received into the world. It strikes very hard back to our prison system, going back to slavery. When female inmates were put in with male inmates, and when they got pregnant, the children belonged to the state and the prison, and they could be sold. This is a serious backlash, and it is still going on today.
Are you sure it's happening today still? Do you have any facts, any information?
The children belong to the state and they can be sold. I'm talking about the baby prison that the
right.
Have
you seen any recent evidence to that effect?
No, but I've not seen any recent evidence to say it's not there. I haven't been to the prison for a while.
But because you were the one who mentioned that some years ago, so maybe things have improved since then. Hopefully things have improved since then. So I'm therefore looking to make sure that that your hope is justified then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm hoping that it has improved.
All right.
But if I could find a newspaper, I would find it. I would republish it on social media to show what I'm talking about. It was the front page of the Nation's newspaper.
I would think that'd be more possible, saying that you're not supposed to take photographs in the institution, but any policy statement, any indication that all that has attained the past, I think would be very even more useful. Not just recreating the past, but that's happening now. We are more interested in the current situation in the future, I think.
I should hope so. But this was a photograph that was on the front of the newspaper published.
Right.
The next point I want to make is and it's going to be very controversial, because we're talking about the minimum wage and increasing the minimum wage for a person. And I find it very interesting that the government is very vocal on talking about increasing the minimum wages now. And as a public servant, I want to know now when my wages are going to be increased. Because I know the first thing I'm going to hear is the government doesn't have any money right now. And we have to
economic times. You realize there are two different issues.
Well, they're both linked by the same fact that if wages are, the cost of living has increased, and I think I heard the senator quoting something like 45%.
Right.
Increase in the last 4 years.
Not senator, the minister. She's not a senator.
Minister. Right, talking about a 45% increase in the cost of living in the last 4 years. If I'm correct.
Since the last minimum wage increase, it was 2012 it was or something. I think that might be a figure I heard. But go ahead.
Okay, she's just talking about the minimum wage. I am talking about the fact that the cost of living has increased dramatically in the last 3-4 years. And to the best of my knowledge, our last increase was in 2018. And it was supposed to be for 1 year to be under review. And then, of course, COVID came along. I will be generous there and say everything got cat-rattled. And we're now in 2021.
Are you a member of the National NUPW?
No, dear.
Oh, have you been agitating among this? Your colleagues, are you sure? Are you aware that the union is pressing for an increase or has expressed dissatisfaction with the
impact? We have said that we would not be pressing for an increase in wages at this time because we are quite cognizant of the economic situation in which we are faced.
So therefore, your question therefore is it logical? If there's an understanding, you're not going to press for an increase. Are you only raising the subject, or are you asking for an increase?
No, I would like an increase. If I don't get an increase, I would like a change in conditions to the better, an improvement in the conditions. But
what conditions do you like to see improved?
My conditions of service,
such as.
Well, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. No, I happen to be a teacher. And my long leave has been removed. And I am overdue for a long leave. No, I should be getting my second set of long leave 10 years ago. And I'm long overdue for a long leave. So if I can't get an increase in salary, I would like to get the return of my long leave. That's one of my conditions.
But so I thought long leave was being phased out, or it was only for overseas. I thought long leave was an anomaly inherited from the colonial days when colonial service for the public service came to work in Barbados and they would give long leave and overseas leave, or is it overseas leave that is being granted, that has been abolished, and not long leave?
Was it negotiated? I don't think it was.
I'm sure I heard that at one time when you reach a certain level in the public service and on a certain seniority number of years, you're entitled to overseas leave, which government would pay some of it for, some of that. Is that the one that's gone? I'm not sure, but the context.
Yeah, it used to be you had to take it overseas, and it was given leave with passage. With the teachers now coming from Barbados, you don't have the leave of passage, but we had long leave.
Oh, you have long leave. Okay.
It was phased out. And to my understanding, as a cost-cutting measure. So what I am saying is, if we can't agitate for an increase in salaries, because the same way you can promote the increase in a minimum wage because you can recognize that there's been an increase in the cost of living, and on the other hand, we can't agitate for an increase from the government in our salaries, I would like to see an improvement in our condition.
Okay, let me explore this long leave issue a bit further. What would you say
long
are the benefits?
Long leave is not the only issue.
What would be the benefits of long leave? What do people do on just have an extended vacation, or do they do it for productive activity or what?
No, it's not supposed to be productive. It's supposed to be restorative. Because this long leave is to help ease in the high incidence of teacher burnout, which next to nurses is the highest worldwide, to the best of my knowledge and research.
Are you a teacher yourself?
That's what I said.
Okay, and you've reached that level. Would you say that you've reached the level of burnout or the state of burnout yourself?
If we have more than reached the level of burnout, especially with the last term that we endured.
With the last one, sir? Last one?
The last two terms.
Two terms, okay. Right.
Because persons don't seem to understand, while you're teaching online, you spend more time preparing work and correcting work than if you were doing face-to-face and you had physical papers in your hand.
Yeah, I've heard that even from people who teach at university say it's much more demanding and stressful to do it online. I think part of the problem is that people have not been prepared. They had not been prepared for this.
It's on your eyes and your electricity bill. Mm-hmm.
I see.
Prepared for it.
How much has your electricity bill risen the last couple of months?
I can tell you my bill has gone up for about $65 to $80.
$65 to $80 something?
$65 to $80 per month.
Okay, all right. Okay. What are the signs of burnout? What are the symptoms of burnout? How do you know when you think you're burnout or you're burnout? Do you demonstrate that other people just give me, it's a term which I'm not familiar with. I've never experienced it myself.
Agitation, anxiety. You also have a change in your sleep pattern. It can affect your whole body function.
Okay.
It's a serious psychological condition, teacher burnout. Teachers have the highest levels next to nurses of burnout.
Is that a demonstrated fact? Is there evidence or is there just things that people
There's
say?
There's plenty of evidence. I did research over 10 years ago. I would have to go and research it again. But from 10 years back, that was the evidence we found out.
Okay.
The next highest group that had the highest level of burnout was nurses next to teachers. The problem is that we hide our burnout and we even lie to ourselves because we're often asked to sacrifice for the children's sake, and we do that.
But are you familiar with something called the Employee Assistant Program, the EAP?
No.
No, are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
Well, I know of it well because it's something that I was able to get into when I was Minister in Charity Civil Service. It's a free counseling service offered to public servants. If you think you're burnout, stressed out.
Yes.
Right?
I know about it. Sorry. I didn't know the official name.
And do people make this up? Is it still in operation?
It's still in operation, but it's 3 sessions per year.
Per year, 3 sessions per year. Three free sessions per year.
3 free sessions per year.
But maybe you could, one of the things until you can get an increase, maybe you could call it for government to increase the availability of it. You can have available more sessions, which government will pay for, so it will allow people to get professional guidance and counseling and assistance and whatnot. Until you can do better with the increase in salaries and maybe increase in leave or
as
restoration.
Said, that would be an increase in our condition, an improvement in our condition.
Right. So I think it's a valid concern, and I would suggest that, you know, they say it's the squeaky wheel that gets the attention. Maybe teachers have to coordinate their demands and their requests in this area. And have to bear fruit over a period of time, always to the understanding when the government can, when the country can afford it.
Because when we start talking about salary negotiations, it's not just negotiating an increase in salary. Because if that increase now has to be sent to my medical bills, it makes no difference.
You're breaking up, ma'am. I'm not getting you clearly. You're breaking up. I don't know if you're on the cell phone, you can change position or something. Can you try again?
Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to an area where I'm getting a lower signal. Right, but I said it makes no sense agitating for an increase in salaries. And then the increase in salaries has to go towards medical bills. So if we can't agitate for an increase in salaries, we need to have improved conditions.
I read and heard in the news that the Minister of Education is meeting with the teachers tomorrow to discuss exams, etc. Maybe that is one of the things that can be raised on that occasion and see what kind of reaction. I just put it on the table to begin the process.
Yes, it is.
All right. All right. Thank you very much,
ma'am. Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself.
I will.
Brastax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Brastax.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Yeah, good afternoon.
Mr. Murray?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I can't complain. Mr. Murray, you're a last caller before the lunch, right? The presenter.
Yeah.
He was asking for extended time. I would like an hour and a half more. 10:30.
Why?
Because you get, as the gentleman say, you get your customers late in the night when people go in. They're at home, they get a bath, and they come back out to get bread. So by 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, you can start packing up with taste. And you got half an hour to get home. You
understand? But do you think would you say that an increase in time and availability of exposure to buying or selling bread, and therefore to the possibility of congregation, that might pose a danger by frustrating the effort to bring down the costs, the increase, the occurrence of COVID cases because people might not be observing the protocols and distancing themselves, especially at night when you are less subject to observation? Do you think it's worth the risk?
Mr. Murray, the COVID people is the out checking all hours. All you have to do is make sure you take out before the call. Social distancing, your mask, and your sanitizer hands. So, if you break the rules, then you can't operate. That is what I feel should happen.
Do you have any idea how many such bread vendors there might be in Barbados, even approximately?
I am sure. I own the business a little while, right? There goes about 30, 40 bread vendors.
And say, Michael?
I don't know how much they are, Mr. Murray.
Okay. No, I raise that point because while this might be a desirable objective to pursue, and the authorities might consider it, when one then has to match that against what it would cost in personnel and time to be able to monitor so many bread vendors. Are there, you might have to send bread vendors in relation to the bread shops, to the rum shops, etc. They have their protocols, and maybe you can seek to negotiate a different protocol, but one that is reasonable and gives give the vendors a chance to increase the possibility of business at the same time.
Yeah,
control the possible spread of COVID.
As I tell you, right, when the COVID people come around, you know, they would know they're looking at their hair. And as it's near to your time, but it's remind you.
All right.
You understand?
Yeah.
So you have a nice afternoon, Mr. Murray.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for your perspective, sir.
Yeah.